You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Installment of the Hour of Power radio program, hosted by Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr. We're glad you could join us this morning as we delve into the Word of God. So prepare your hearts, prepare your minds, and grab a Bible. Now here's your host, Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr.
Well, praise the Lord, men, women of God, mighty men, women of valor. We thank God for you today. Thank you for listening to Kingdom Sounds, Radio Broadcast Ministry of Victory International Praise. Praise the Lord. We have an awesome man of God. I just almost wanted to say he's back, Bishop Carter. Praise God, who just recently blessed us real good, and we got him right back here. I don't think I have any announcements right now. If I do, I'll make them afterwards, because I just want to go ahead and jump right into the Word of God. How you doing, man of God?
I am doing absolutely wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing great. I want to give a shout out to my wife, who's she's been all over the place. She just got back from Texas, and she's going to be in Tampa today, and just trying to nail her down. How about you?
My goodness, yes. I appreciate God for my wife, too. She rolled over with me today. Thank God for being able to be a part of this opportunity. She's with her sister. She's fellowshipping with her
man,
sister.
Man, she could have came up in here, man. We would have had some fire showing up.
Oh, Jesus, have mercy.
Get Brother Danny a fire extinguisher, Texas, man. She close by Texas, you know, because, we break out the fire extinguisher.
We'll go ahead.
Man. If you feel led to send her a text, go ahead and send her a text and tell her to come on over.
Yes, sir. I got you. She's working and spending time with her sister.
Oh, okay. Yes. All right. Yes. Sister Lucky. Yes. Sister catching
the
fire.
Yes, she is.
All right. Well, hey, let's go, man. I'm ready.
You ready?
I'm ready to get fed. I know these folks on the radio. Are y'all ready? All right.
One of the things that I mentioned to you was just talking about strategies versus tactics, not just in the church, but one of the things that we have to deal with is strategy versus tactics in our own personal life. Sometimes what we do is, we have a quote that says, a failure to plan is a lack of planning means that you're planning to fail. So what we have to do is we have to realize that strategy is necessary, the necessity of strategy in our daily walk with God. And there's Proverbs 3:5-6 is a scripture that we talked about since we were children. It's trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and all of your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Now, one of the things that we look at when we see those particular verses is that we can see the strategy of God. We see that there are components that lead to success. Mm-hmm. Trust, don't lean, acknowledge, and then God.
Yeah.
So we have three components that we look at whereby God strategizes and says, when you do these things, then I'm going to do this thing. Open the door, direct your path, make straight your way. But what happens a lot of the times is that we don't get to the place to where we trust. And trust is a component. In order to get to the place where you trust, you have to have relationship. Mm-hmm. And that is what is missing in so many lives of the saints, the ability to trust God and to have confidence that God's already got it. He's already got it. It's already done. And we get to that place to where we trust him enough to know, God, you got it. Mm-hmm. You got it. And then when we trust him like that, we can get to the place to where our understanding goes out the window, because the picture that we oftentimes see that is painted before us is not it. See, sometimes we see the picture that limits the power of God. Uh-huh. Because when we see the giant, we're like, there's no way.
Yeah.
There is no way that I'm going to be able to get past or get through this test. But we have to realize that our God is so much bigger than the things that we're going through. And then it's in our ability to acknowledge. So we trust our comprehension goes out the window, because the way we see it is not really what it is. Our God is so much bigger. He's so much greater. And then we have the ability to acknowledge. That is strategy. What happens in the lives of a lot of people is that, now understand, strategy is the plan, long term. Strategy is the proactive,
right?
Because it's the development of something for a specified end. Now, out of strategy, you can have tactics, which streamlines your ability, because in battle, sometimes there's formations that we have. When they go out to battle and they go out to war, they realize that certain formations work better with regards to, and you see they come into a triangle, or everybody in the front has their shields. Those are tactics that are used in the midst of a strategy that was developed. And what happens is sometimes we try to use tactics first. And where we miss it is that a tactic without a strategy is void. Again, you can't jump into the war without trusting God.
Yeah.
Because when you get into the battle, you're going to need God. Yeah. But you would have needed God before you get into the battle. So the strategy is to have God before you get in the battle, into the battle and then want God.
Good.
Because and that's what we do. We step into so many things without God. And then when we get into the thing, then we want to bring in God versus allowing God, trusting him enough to know that he's God and that let me give you an example, so we bring in King David out to battle. He comes from the battle. His wives and his children are gone. The city has, the place has been burnt down. They have taken what was, now watch what, when we look at what King David does, this is what messes me up, because if most of us come home and everything in our home is missing, we are not going to consult God. My stuff is gone, my wife gone, my kids are gone, I gotta go out and handle my business.
Yeah.
And this is where the enemy hems us up, because what happens is things happen in our lives where we tell ourselves that we don't have time to pray.
Yeah.
Because so many things happen that we believe require a response in an instance. But watch what David does, and this is something, because we know David's a bad boy. Mm-hmm. David could respond and go, let me go get my stuff. Let me go get my wife.
Yeah.
You know, the guys are sitting here, they thinking about stoning me. But what David does is David gets the ephod, and here's the components. David trusts in the Lord enough to stop and take that moment and say, I need a strategy. Because there's no guarantees that if I step into this, that the outcome is going to be what I want to.
Right.
Here's the important thing as saints that we need to do. We need to know what the outcome is going to be before we step into stuff.
Yeah.
And there's only one way to know that, and that is to allow God to direct our steps.
That is
to step back and take that moment in time and say, I'm not going to be moved by what I see. and so many times, and the word of God says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer and supplication, make your requests known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. That's our ability to take that moment and say, I trust you, God. I trust you. I see that this is jacked up, but what's going to happen is I'm not going to be pushed into. And if you are anything like a lot of us, what happens is, the enemy pushes us into stuff. He presents something to us, and what we do is we respond to the stimulus. Now we have to understand there's spirit and there's flesh. Our spirit is willing, but our flesh is oftentimes in a state of weakness. And what happens is, in these components where the enemy is trying to get us to move, we need to take that moment and say, Lord, I'm gonna trust you. But not only am I going to trust you, what I see, I'm not going to try to comprehend what this is based on what I physically see.
Yeah.
Because behind every natural, there's a spiritual.
Yeah.
It didn't just happen to get to where it is. There is a spiritual component behind what you're seeing. One of the spiritual components is an adversary who is trying to get you to move out of place, trying to get you to move out of time. You have to make this business decision today. You have to make this important ministerial decision today. You can't wait an hour. You don't have time to acknowledge God. I want you to move now. And David says, no, give me the ephod. He gets the ephod, and that's a whole nother story because you...
when you said acknowledge, I was sitting there thinking, what's that scripture? Acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways.
Yes.
And then especially when you spoke about trust, because, I remember when my son, when he was born, and I wasn't always there because I worked the third shift, but I was there on the weekends. But I remember one night when I began to make the practice of, you know, not trying to take him down there and make the bottle because you got to hold him and stuff. And I decided, okay, all right, I'm going to leave him upstairs. I'm going to go down here and make the bottle. But he would continue to cry, continue to cry. And after a while, I was like sitting there saying, okay, all right, why is he always crying? I've been doing this for a while where I go downstairs. Once I come in, hit the light and turn the light on and I go downstairs, he should know that I'm making a bottle. Mm-hmm. And it just came up in my spirit. He don't trust the fact that you're coming back yet.
Wow.
In other words, so he hadn't came to a place of trusting. And also I wanted to make a comment where you said it's so important to get God involved first.
Yes.
Because, you know, if the, at the wedding of Canaan, and how you doing, Minister James? Good to have you on. At the wedding of Canaan, if Jesus had not been invited, when there was a shortage, because a lot of times we jump into stuff and there's a shortage there.
Wow.
Come on. We don't have enough to fulfill the goal of mission.
Wow.
And all of a sudden, here's Christ. He's invited. Come on. He's there.
Wow.
His mother is there, Mary, who's a picture of the church, because a lot of times we jump into stuff and we don't get the church involved.
Yes. Wow,
we don't get
good.
Jesus
that's
involved.
Good.
Come on.
That's good.
And so anyways, that's what I wanted to say, man of God. I could see that as you were talking.
Yo, that. Oh, see, now you see. And that is so much good, because when we're looking at his first miracle at the wedding in Cana of Galilee, we realize that without invitation, there can be no expectation whereby we receive the miraculous work of God. And it's the same thing in our lives.
Yeah.
Most people won't invite him in and give him space to be God. So we are confined to the struggles and the troubles of life because we haven't invited him in and allowed the miraculous power of God to work in us and through us. Because it is only through that expectation that he moves and does what he's going to do. So when David is asking for the ephod, he has an expectation and he takes time to pray. Now, prayer is strategy. Prayer is also tactical too. Praise is strategy. Praise is also tactical too, because there are multiple components to those, because we can pray as a strategy for long term, but we can also pray for strategy when things happen, for tactics when things happen in an instant. We can praise because, you know, praise is comely among the upright. We ought to always pray and give thanks unto the Lord, but that there are also those times when we can praise God in an instant and see the instant results. So we look at the multiple components of those two, prayer and praise. But here's the thing, we pray less because we don't trust. We praise less because we don't trust. And here's a problem where we are reaching, because as a church, what is happening is not that the church is powerless, because that's the bride of Christ, and we know that the church has power because we are the fullness of Jesus Christ in the earth. But what happens is that we are setting up people for power, not purpose. We're teaching people not to be disciples. People come now and they don't want to be followers. They come in ready to lead, but they have not become effective disciples. They have not become effective followers of Christ. So the strategy should be that we make them better disciples before we try to make them prayer warriors and intercessors, before we try to make them deacons and ministers.
Yeah.
But again, that's up to us as leaders to make them into what we call them to be, because Jesus says that he wanted them. He says, go and make disciples. He didn't say, go make ministers, go make elders, go make prophets.
Yeah.
We have to make them consistent followers of Christ, and then the intercessor comes out, and then the prayer warrior comes out, and then the elder or the minister is developed. It's not, and again, that's what I'm saying. Now we're doing it from a tactical standpoint because we want to build ministry.
Yeah.
It's not about building kingdom. And because we want to build ministry and we're missing kingdom, what we do is he'll be a good minister.
Yeah.
She'll make a good minister. And we think that by putting these people in positions that we strengthen ourselves as a ministry. But what happens is the church, because we're doing it that way,
yeah.
we are not becoming more powerful. We're becoming powerless. Because we are developed through our relationship with Christ. The Spirit of God has to be developed in us, and through the development of Christ's Spirit in us, that's what makes us strong. We don't become powerful because we have a title. The robe doesn't make us the robe doesn't make us more powerful. So we have to get to the place to where we are saying, God, how do we develop kingdom versus trying to develop individuals who just want authority and to be looked at as an authority.
Yeah, because we end up with having weaknesses in our pillars.
Yes.
Weaknesses in our pillars. Come on, we wanted them to be pillars in the church, and all of a sudden you got a weak pillar. Wow. You know, and even something that you were saying, man of God, earlier about prayer and praise. And because, you know, one of the things that, you know, the disciples were given an assignment to go to the other side. Sometimes we give people assignments. In the church, but Jesus set an example. He said, go, you know, because they didn't stop to pray. They just jumped in the boat.
Come on.
Jesus went up into the mountains, come on, and prayed.
Yes.
Mountains represent elevation.
Yes.
Sometimes we got to elevate ourselves in the spirit. Come on, we got to get ready for society because waters, he, they were going across the Sea of Galilee. Seas represent nation, tongues, and people. Sometimes we're dealing with society and we get stuck out there in the middle of society. Come on. That's what happened to them. They just jumped in the boat. They rowed, and about halfway they got stuck. Come on. The devil set them up. My God. Sometimes people get stuck. They get set up. They get by the enemy and they're stuck out there in the middle of the boat. But here comes Jesus now. Come on. Who's all prayed up. My God. Who's had a session with God, and he's walking on what they were struggling in. And a lot of times we wonder why people are walking what some people are struggling. They're dominating in society. Come on, why some people are struggling in society, you know, to get the destination fulfilled. We see that as a matter of fact, they saw something, they saw the supernatural, because a lot of times we're trying to do it without the super on our natural. Saw a miracle, they saw a wonder, and they were afraid, and that's the problem with the body of Christ. A lot of us are afraid of spiritual things. How are you going to serve a spiritual God, and be afraid of the supernatural? To God, because the enemy, you watch too much television, the enemy makes you afraid of the supernatural. He makes you think that he's better than God. He shows you movies where demons, devils, creatures go into church and beat the man of God up. The devil is a liar.
They won't be beating up
Bishop Carter, that's for sure. But the Bible says when they invited him into the boat, this is the part. See, you don't want to invite him halfway. You want to invite him at the very beginning.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. Invited him into the boat. And when you go to the book of John, the Bible says immediately they were at their destination.
Wow.
Come on. Oh, glory to God. Why? Because they saw the supernatural. But once they invited him into the boat, they became a part of the supernatural. Come on. Go ahead.
Wow. Now you done said a whole lot. You done said a whole lot of
I'm look, just gleaning off of y'all. I'm gonna have to, and again,
some of what you just said, Apostle, was so awesome, because strategy, the strategies of man, many are the plans in the heart of man, but it is the counsel and the will of God that is going to stand. And Ephesians talks about that. He worked everything in the earth after the counsel of his own will. So we have to understand it is the will of God, and he'll use whatever. I mean, we can be a part of the plan. God's going to use whatever and whoever is available to him to fulfill what he has. But the strategy of man tells me that if I get enough education, that I will have revelation. Now, I'm going to get in trouble probably off of this one. I'm going to have some Bible folks that's going to be like, I'm not talking bad about you Bible scholars. I'm not talking about you bad about your theologians. But one of the things is that your biblical education and your college degree does not equate to revelation. And one thing you said is key. God is spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. He says, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. And education can oftentimes cause you to miss the spiritual component of who God is. In order to have a relationship with God, you have to have relationship with him through the spirit. That is an invisible realm. That is a realm that you can't see out of.
Yeah.
That is a realm where God speaks to you through the Spirit, and he's giving you revelation. Because so education doesn't always equate to revelation.
It don't help you to connect the dots.
No.
Because until the Spirit of God is what helps me to connect the dots.
Yes. And that is so true. And that is so true. So we have education, and your strategy is if I get educated enough, I'll be spiritual enough. No, that's not true, because that does not give you revelation. He says in his word, and you prayed it, and I remember even when I was at New Hope, you prayed it, give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. So he wants us to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of who he is. One thing we have to understand, and I love about wisdom, and again, we'll probably get to this one down the road somewhere. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all you're getting, get understanding. We have to understand that wisdom is not always what you say. Wisdom is silent. When you remember God creating the earth and the heavens and the dust of the earth, wisdom sits back and marvels at what God does. You have a lot of people who say they're sharing wisdom. You're talking too much. Wisdom is that silent component that just marvels at the awesomeness and the power of God. So we have people who think that an education is going to give them a revelation and then they'll get an elevation. But here's the thing, we miss the main component, and that's God. We miss the main component, and that's Christ. No matter how much you read this, until the Word of God becomes spirit and indwells you, because you can always look and see. When people are me, my I, it's my ministry, it's my church, it's my anointing, it's my this. When people are always, and again, we look at the apostle.
Let me ask you this question.
Go for it.
Do you think that's why David said, I know more than I know more than I know more.
Listen.
I know more because of the revelation.
The truth revealed. And again, people will tell you that they want to know. Truth is a strategy. Why is truth a strategy and not a tactic? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There's a liberty that truth will set you at, but most people run from truth. And then as leaders, oftentimes it does us no good to tell them the truth, because truth creates an offense. Truth causes people to get offended with you because you didn't have to tell me that. No, I had to. I had to tell you the truth. You needed to know the truth. I know that that was a big pill to swallow, but the strategy of God in order to get you delivered and to have you walk in a liberty so that you're not entangled again with yokes of bondage is for this truth of who you are in this space and time, not who you are, not who God called you to be, but you're operating here. I need to get you here. So I got to tell you a truth here. That's going to be a hard one. But the truth that I tell you here, if you receive it, is going to get you here. It's going to get you to the place to where you need to be. So David again, come back to David. David gets the ephod. David trusts in God. David does not lean to his own understanding, because in his own understanding he would say, I'm here. What was here that I left here is not here. I'm going to go get it. Now here's where we have to understand that God is awesome. God not only tells him that he can go get what's his, but he says, when you go get what's yours, you're going to recover everything. But this is what I love about God. He does not tell him, not only will you recover everything, there's some extra in what you're going to go. He said, look, I'm going to let you recover all. And that is what we miss when we don't allow the super of God to envelop our natural. We miss the increase and the overflow of God, because not only did God give him what was already his, God says, I'm going to give you the stuff that was there that is going to become yours, and you are going to become a possessor of houses that you didn't build, land that you didn't buy, and I'm going to even give you all of those things. But that was the strategy of God, and it was because he took a moment. Again, he took a moment to acknowledge. He took a second and a space and time to say, God, what do I do in this moment? Shall I pursue? Yes, you shall pursue. Now, look at that. It did not take God weeks to respond. He had, and that's what we convince ourselves in the flesh, is that I don't have time. I got to move on this now. This is the decision that I have to make now. God did something so amazing for me years ago. My electric bill, I mean, this was way back in New York days. My electric bill was past due, and I had already gotten the cutoff notice. Mm-hmm. So I was rolling down to the phone booth because I was calling the people to ask them, could I get another extension? Because I wasn't going to have the money. Apostle Thomas, I was so messed up that I didn't even realize that it had been already been a week beyond the cutoff date. And Apostle Thomas, I still had power a week beyond the cutoff date. And when I called the people, do you know that they didn't have any record of a cutoff? I had the cutoff notice in my hand. I had just gotten busy that I didn't have time to even worry about it. I'm on my way up to the phone booth to tell them, and I'm missing the fact that, oh my God, my power is still on. God is still providing. And here I am, I got electricity, and the people who sent me the cutoff notice don't even have record of my power supposed to be cut off. How about, and let me show you how good God is. So when the Spirit of the Lord tells you to do something, you can move in that instant. You don't have to wait. And see, that's our understanding of God. We think that we need 2 and 3 confirmations, but when God speaks, he's already confirmed it. Father, Son, Holy Spirit have already confirmed what he says. You don't need a 4th confirmation when he speaks. So he told me to go to the dealership and get the car. Again, this is not, I'm not a car, house, money. No, that's not my thing. I'm just showing you God at work. So he sends me to the dealership to get the car. I go to get the car. I get the car. How about a month or two after I have the car, the bank sends me a notice. The same bank that I'm getting ready to make a payment to, the bank sends me a notice that says, we are sorry, we were unable to process your loan. They sent me a rejection letter after I had already been approved. Sometimes we can be approved by God, rejected by man, but the approval of God is greater than the rejection of man. They intended to reject me, but God wouldn't allow them to reject me because I obeyed God and went and did what he said do. So when man wanted to say no, God had already said yes. I called the people and said, you know, I just received a notice from you. They said, we don't even know why you got that notice. I said, I thought I was approved. I was pretty sure. They said, yeah, discard that notice. So they sent me a rejection letter after God had already approved it.
Boy, that happened to me. I think we ran over time. I think we're going to have to go. Stay tuned. This is Victory. This is Kingdom Sound. Bishop Apostle. He messing me up in here. Praise the Lord. Yes. Just Larry. We thank God for you. Amen. We're going to have to check out for this session, this Monday session. And we want you to tune back in Tuesday. Those that are on social media, go ahead and stay on social media. How you doing there, Minister James? Amen. Alex, praise the Lord. God bless you, man of God. All right. Well, God bless you. We love you. We will see you on tomorrow. Bishop Carter is going to be right back. All right. God bless.
Yes.
Good evening, and thank you for listening to our broadcast. I want to take a moment and invite you to our marriage conference, March the 16th and 17th. The location is 250 North Babcock, 250 North Babcock. That's Victory International Praise Church, 250 North Babcock in Melbourne, Florida. The Bible says we're destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And a lot of times marriages are going through some things because we do lack knowledge. The Bible says to dwell with your spouse according to knowledge. And so we want to give you some knowledge and even some wisdom. And so once again, the address is 250 North Babcock, Melbourne, Florida. We will be starting at 7 p.m. I pray that God will stir the hearts of even the spouses that you don't even believe would be willing to come, that God will stir their hearts to come and to be there. All right, God bless you. We love you.
Welcome to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur.